This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource of pilots and aircraft owners.
Hi, this is Mary Grady with AvWeb, and today we're talking with Tom Pagini. He's the CEO of Flight Design in Woodstock, Connecticut, and he's going to give us an update on how things went at Oshkosh. He had some new products there, and he was getting a lot of attention. And so did you get to fly? I heard you were flying the eSpider Ultralight down there in the Ultralight Zone.
We did. In fact, we had a very successful show. Really, it was a very successful test program because the 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th test flights were flown on the eSpider at Oshkosh. We have quite a bit of experience with the design, so we felt fine flying it there. We had done some serious testing here in Woodstock before we left. That's a product made by Flight Star Incorporated, which is our parent company for both Flight Star work and Flight Design USA. It's a design that I participated in and mostly designed back in 1981, and we've been producing ever since with a total of probably made 1,200 kits over the years. It's been a big part of my career.
And so are you selling copies of that with the electric motor?
Well, not yet. It's still a proof of concept. We think we can get a lot more performance out of it. That was just our first effort at it. And we started the whole program about 3 months ago at the Aero Exposition in Friedrichshafen with myself meeting Tian Yu, the president of Unique, the company that makes the electric power system. And then we came back and started working feverishly on it and ended up testing the plane about the first week before Oshkosh, which I think anyone who's been involved with getting something ready for Air Venture will tell you the work will expand the maximum time allowable. Fortunately, we didn't have to put it in the trailer with wet paint or anything like that.
So is it the endurance mainly that you're looking to improve, and what kind of endurance are you getting now, and what do you hope to get?
Well, that is what we do need to improve. We think eventually we'll be getting 45-minute flights on the plane, and right now I'm probably able to get a half hour out of one charge on those two batteries, but really haven't optimized anything on it. We basically finished the airframe, made it light enough to meet the FAR 103 requirements of being less than 254 pounds. Took it out on the runway a couple of Fridays ago. Now it's 3 weeks ago. Did flights up and down the runway. The following Sunday, I did what's now a very popular YouTube video that I believe you even had on the AvWeb website a link to, of the first test flight. And the first test flight was what I would consider really, really successful, and we were super pleased. And then we went on to do another five flights similar to that, a couple with another pilot so I could observe. And we videoed a lot and studied it quite a bit. And we were very conservative. That's when we made the decision to fly out at Air Venture. The flights I made at Air Venture were very conservative. I kept them to a nominal event and flew about 15 minutes each flight there, and we did I think six of them at Air Venture as well.
Great. And what kind of response did you get there? Were people looking to buy it, or were they just more curious about it, or did they want to use those engines in their own projects, or what was
well,
the response?
Well, all of the above. See, I wear two hats always, so three or four sometimes. But I had to scoot out after every demo, and even I guess on the first day the people were like four deep around my my son was in the booth, Jeff, and a guy named Matt Fortin, our young guy who works for us. He's the manager of this program right now. We made up a couple hundred brochures, and the first day we went right through those brochures, and I had to have more printed and sent to me out there. So the response was great. Unique, the company that sponsored the project, was very, very pleased. I had a great time with it, having something so cool at Air Venture that I built myself was very fulfilling. And when I say built myself, I literally built this. I didn't have our people build it, and then I say I built it. I was, you know, pulling pop rivets and using a pistol drill, and we had to fabricate a lot of the components, and I really am the one who has the experience doing it, so it's easier for me to do it. So, made for kind of a tough schedule, but it was also very, very fulfilling.
Oh, that's great. It sounds like you had a good time with it. And do you see a lot of potential for the electric engine, or do you think it's just something for fun, you know, to play with in an ultralight, or is it something we'll be seeing in LSAs?
Oh, I think we're just scratching the surface. I believe that in the future, and I'm not talking about the near future, I'm talking about maybe 100 years from now, we will have to remove all social barriers associated with flight, be it noise or pollution or whatever. And this is just the first step in on that long path. I think Unique, the company, and many other people like Randy Fishman and the folks from Sonix, and now EAA has really gotten involved, and NASA through their CAFE Foundation challenges are really spurring the development of this new part of the industry. I don't think it'll replace conventional aviation anytime soon, but I do see not too far in the future photovoltaic hangars with motor gliders sitting in them that are charged and flown totally off the power grid and will have totally independent flight.
Wow, well, it's nice to hear someone thinking 100 years in the future.
Well, I think the photovoltaic motor glider thing will be maybe 5 years in the future or less. The Unique airplane could be charged from, it has enough wing area, you could just put solar cells on the wing and charge it for flights right now. And Eric Raymond, really the unsung leader of electric flight, has been flying around for almost 20 years in a little electric-powered motor glider called the Sunseeker. He's a former hang glider pilot, fellow that we've known for a long time, and he's really been showing the way for almost 20 years. He's currently in Europe flying around in a photovoltaic-powered ultralight sailplane, flying all over Europe right at the moment. So that'd be another follow-up for you to look into, because he's a great American innovator.
Oh, that's amazing. I know we have done, I remember a few years ago we did a video on his work, the Sunseeker work. So,
yep. It's, but he's very active in Europe right now.
Wow. Well, that's good to hear.
And for me, the fun part of all this is that, to put an electric motor on an ultralight and fly it, that took some work, and that's neat. It's not reinventing the wheel. I think Randy Fishman really invented this wheel. But we can take it to the next step. And my point in showing this was that we really can use this technology. I think we can develop this into a viable product. And there's a lot of people talking about a lot of stuff, and it's very exciting to see this stuff actually work. You know, Randy Fishman being up in the air, Eric Raymond being up in the air, the Unique E-430, and in my small part, having an electric airplane flying in the ultralight area at AirVenture was very fulfilling, too.
Great. So how far away do you think it is before somebody, you know, can give you a call and buy themselves an electric-powered ultralight?
I can't say just yet. It's too much of a proof of concept. We have people already offering that, so... very fulfilling. What I liked also is that the plane looked nice when you went up and looked at it. We had enough time to, all the parts that we made custom for it, we had enough time and worked ahead and had everything powder coated and anodized. And, you know, there was no smash tube, duct tape, hose clamp, pop rivet kind of stuff on the plane anywhere. So.
That's right. I got a look at it. It looked really nice sitting out there on the field.
Neat as a pin. And that made me feel really good too.
Good. So what else was going on? I know that wasn't your only thing happening at the show.
No, flight design. We had a great new booth space right up by the entrance at AirVenture, across the way from China, from Cessna, and that really looked very good. People were very pleased with our new booth space. We had five booths, which is a big jump for us with sun sails and a lot of airplanes on display. Flight Design Gesellschaft, the German parent company, had their hybrid engine concept with a Rotax turbocharged engine and a 40-kilowatt motor, and there was tremendous interest in that as well. At the show, they had some meetings with several engine manufacturers that were very interested in the technology, and that went very well. We announced a new distributor for the West Coast of the United States. We've been running on about two-thirds of the country for sales right now, and we have a brand-new company called Flight Design West LLC that'll be taking over, and they started their association with us with a big order that was very very helpful, and they're really professional people based at the Lone Mountain in Las Vegas, Nevada, and the principals are very involved with the Cirrus programs and PC-12s and TBM 850s. And the Lone Mountain facility will be our primary service center for the Southwest United States. And Lone Mountain has 16 mechanics online, a full composite shop that's been trained to do work on flight design aircraft, an avionics shop right there. And then the association with the very successful Cirrus dealers on the West Coast, we think it's going to be a big shot in the arm for us, too. We also delivered our 300th airplane just before AirVenture to an owner, Ken Griffin, out of Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and that's another milestone for Light Sport Aircraft. So things are pretty good here. We're really pleased.
Well, that's good. Well, we just got some numbers yesterday from Gamma showing, a continuing decline in overall in GA, but how is your company holding up? Is LSA doing okay? And also, are you getting more interest from the flight schools as as it becomes easier to assure you can get maintenance and all that for these airplanes?
Well, we did have meetings with the two major LSA insurance groups, Falcon and Avemco. Sorry, I'm still a little tired at the show. And we're on a preferred LSA list for them, which is helping. We have seen more interest from flight schools. Historically, we didn't have much interest from them, and now they're starting to call us. And it's a real sea change for the light sport aircraft industry, partly because of the good promotion done by the Light Aircraft Manufacturers Association, and partly because I believe we have a really desirable product line that we're offering both the Flight Design CTLS and the MC. We also have started the Flight Design Pilot Center program and are about to have an agreement with Jeppesen to use and promote their new sport online multimedia sport pilot course. We've been working with ASA, who developed line of Flight Design Pilot Center training courses, and the combination has really helped. We think that's going to be the foundation, as Cessna thought, for energizing flight training in the United States, and we're glad to be part of it.
Okay, and are sales overall holding up for you guys?
Yeah, we're at a sustainable level right now. It's not great, but we're doing fine. And to be honest, so many people have gone through so much grief during the downturn. We are very, very fortunate. We thought ahead and had some very good years, and we're pretty wise with our funds. And now we're reaping the benefit. We didn't overexpand. We didn't try to compete with well-funded competitors in a giant marketing program that could put us out of business. We're delivering everything we sell, and we have happy customers out there. So our situation is pretty good. You have to remember, we're an independent. We're not owned by a major corporation. We're more like Vans, who makes the RVs, or Rands, who makes the Rands line of aircraft. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we're successful, it's just from good old hard work, selling airplanes and having a good product, which is actually fulfilling in itself.
Well, that sounds good. It sounds like you had a good time at Oshkosh. And is there anything else that you would like our listeners to know about? Any other news from the company?
Well, from the company, no, that's about it. But overall, the buzz at AirVenture was great. People care passionately about our freedom to fly in the United States. We're very fortunate. It's a very free activity in the U.S. And if you believe the naysayers, we'd be in, you know, soup kitchens and selling pencils on the corner. And it's obvious that the LSA end of aviation is very vibrant still, because people still want to fly. And we think that light sport aircraft has a lot of value for people in their lives. It's a great way to make a lot of people happy. We've already done that. And I think the future is bright for light sport aircraft and alternative aviation.
Okay, thanks very much. This has been Mary Grady with AvWeb talking with Tom Begini of Flight Design, and thanks for listening.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine. For more information on Aviation Consumer, log on to www.aviationconsumer.com.